Everything we do is determined by our belief. Everything that how you view certain things, you do it because there's something within yourself that people call that a worldview. And that's what makes you act the way you do. That's what makes you do certain things, because there's something that operates within you, a belief that you have, and you can call that belief a principle. We all have principles in our own lives. I mean, that's how you make sense of the world. You know, like how you make sense of certain things, because that's who you are. Everybody has a worldview. The thing is that you might not know what a worldview you have. Everybody has a worldview, but your worldview might not be Christ-like. How you view the world, a biblical worldview is like looking at the world through the eyes of God, through the eyes of Christ. We talked about that in Sunday school a couple of weeks ago. You see, worldview is the platform where you stand to look at the world, to make sense of the world. We have beliefs in our system, and those beliefs become principles. They become the foundation where we stand. They become the foundation for what we do in life. Every society is governed by principles that they call, I mean, later on, you hear the word founding fathers, because they have those principles. You know, the Declaration of Independence is the principle by which the United States of America was founded. Every nation on earth has some principles, and you can call those principles the foundation upon which those nations are built. Now, you know also the most important thing of a house is the foundation. If the foundation is not good, it doesn't matter how beautiful the house is. If the foundation of a building is not good, it doesn't matter how beautiful you can adorn that building, it's not going to stand. The foundation is the most important thing. I mean, you see that you got a person coming to appraise your home, they go right to the foundation. If they find that foundation is cracked, that, you know, they would tell you have to fix that. Because, you know, that's where the house is built. The foundation is bad, the house is not going to stand. Weather and other elements that might come. Now, I'm talking about foundation, and perhaps I need to, Jerry's going to be helping me out there. I need to define what a foundation is according to Webster. So Webster's definition says foundation, a usually stone or concrete structure that supports a building from underneath. Also, Webster says it's something like an idea, a principle, or a fact that provides support for something. It's interesting. Both definitions say that a foundation is something that supports. It supports a house, a building. It supports your life. If that's your principle, that's supporting you. That's what's holding you, the foundation you have. Now, when you go through the Bible, Jesus Christ has so many names. And, you know, so many names of Jesus Christ that, you know, if I gave you the time just to name a few, I found a great slide that has some of them. Savior, Creator, God, you know, the way, the truth, and the life, King of Kings. You hear about the one that you're going to learn today. Jesus Christ is known as the living stone. You hear about with a cornerstone. It's like, really? What does that mean that Jesus is the stone? So you hear about that he's the bread of life, the gate, the Prince of Peace, the Word of God, the Son of God, the Lord of all, the Great Shepherd. So many names through the Bible about Jesus Christ that when you do a study about him. But one of those names that I want to talk to you about today is that Jesus Christ from the get-go, from the beginning, God saw him as a foundation for everyone. Jesus Christ is called the foundation stone or cornerstone or the living stone, which sounds like a contradiction because stones don't have life. Have you noticed that the living stone? Stones they are not organism. Trees are. So the living stone, what is that? That Jesus, Peter calls Jesus the living stone. We're gonna discuss what he meant by that. Now if you have your Bibles, 1 Peter 2 verses 4 through 9, that's what we have this idea of Jesus as the living stone. And because he is the living stone, something happens to us if we are attached to him as well. Let me just read that for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through following, the Apostle Peter says, as you come to him, this is Jesus, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. This idea of Jesus as the living stone, I love what Peter says right there, the imagery. He says, as you come to him, as you come to Christ, you see, when you and I come to Christ, if he's the living stone, we also become living stones. And he says, because, and then this is a living stone, you and I, because we came to Christ, and God's building a house. Now, Jesus Christ is the main living stone, and because of him, we Christians, I mean, you know, one of the names that we hear in the Bible for the church is like the body of Christ. We know that imagery very well. The family of God, we know that one too. But how about the living stone? Now this building that God is building, and he's using you and I to build it. His kingdom. It says, look what Peter says, as you come to him, Christ, the living stone rejected. Yeah, this living stone is being rejected by man, but nevertheless, God chose it. In other words, what Peter's saying, it's been on God's idea, it's been God's plan to make Jesus the living stone. He is, and that stone for our foundation that later on you're going to hear about, that the Bible talks about. Rejected by men, but chosen by God. It was God's idea. Jesus became the foundation stone for people. When someone comes to Christ, he or she becomes living stones that God uses to build his house, the spiritual house. And why is God building a house through you and I? So that you and I can be holy. Everything that belongs to God is holy. And we have in ourselves, we're holy not because of our own, you know, goodness. We're holy because he's holy. And we're righteous because he's righteous, not because of our own understanding or accord. So it says that we're part of the house, God's house, and he's building it so that you and I can offer God worship that is acceptable to God, spiritual worship. I mean, you have the idea of the priesthood. You know, priests in the Old Testament, what they did, they served the Lord. They served God in so many capacities, killing animals, sacrificing them, playing instruments, doing so many other things, opening the door. There were so many things that those people were involved in, all for the worship of Yahweh. And now Peter talks about that we are living stones. God's building his house, his spiritual house, so that you and I can offer sacrifices to him that is acceptable to God. And the Bible says that we all priests and priestesses to offer this spiritual sacrifice to God, spiritual worship. So you see, the whole idea of Jesus as living stone, look at what he's already doing. Just because you and I are connected to him, that will make us living stones as well, to offer sacrifice for him. Now it's interesting. The Apostle Paul also uses the same imagery of a building when he talks about Jesus as the cornerstone in Ephesians 2:19. 19 through 22, the Bible says, reading from the ESV, he says, "So then you are no longer strangers," talking about Christians, now that you are Christians, "you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members," check this out, "members of the household of God." See, when you come to Christ, the Bible says that our body is the temple, it's God's house. But what? We're living stones. He's building this house, the temple where God lives. And then Paul says, "Members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets," and check this out, "Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God, by the Spirit." Peter and Paul. Now, they didn't just meet and text each other or trying to, you know, to find out, hey, make sure that we write the same thing. They understood that Jesus is the living stone. It's through him that you and I become God's temple where he lives. You see, Jesus is God's precious stone. He chose him to be the foundation for the world. Now, in our text, Peter talking to that church. He said, for in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, that's a quote from the Old Testament. Isaiah 28:16. This is what it says. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts in him will never be dismayed. Jesus Christ, the firm foundation, the firm cornerstone. You see, foundation for what? I mean, we talk about foundation according to Webster. It's a principle. So what he's saying, I mean, I just think about that for a moment. He's going to be the principle by which I operate. He's going to be the one upon which I'm going to build my house, my life, if it's the foundation. That's been God's ordained from the beginning, that Jesus Christ be the foundation stone. Isaiah said it. See, I lay a stone in Zion. He's tested. He's precious for a sure foundation, a foundation that will not crack. Because of the weather, a foundation that will not crack when the struggles will come in your life. That's why Jesus Christ is a foundation stone. And that's exactly what Peter told the religious leaders of his days. They crucified Jesus. And Peter, in chapter 4 of Acts, he gets up and told the religious leaders, you were the builders, but you rejected the cut stone. You rejected the foundation stone. In Acts chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, Peter is talking about, he says, Jesus, he is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other name given to men by which we must be saved. You were supposed to build your life with that foundation stone with Jesus, and you rejected him. For he's the capstone. He's the foundation stone. It's interesting. Peter has this, you see, like Paul uses the analogy of athlete a lot. He talks about running a race. Peter loves the whole idea of building. I mean, he said it in Acts, the foundation stone. Now he's writing a letter to a church, and he uses the same analogy, that he's the living stone. He's the cornerstone from the get-go. He's precious to those who believe, he says. Jesus is a firm foundation for those who believe. You see, he's either going to be a foundation or he's not. Jesus Christ is either going to be a foundation for you, or he will be your ruin. And you're going to see why, how the text talks about. Look what it says. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. A tripping stone. Jesus Christ can be both. He can be your foundation, but if he's not, then he be your stumbling stone. Now, two stones. You're going to use the cornerstone to build something, or that stone is going to become a stumbling stone for you to trip over and fall. Paul describes Jesus as a stumbling stone when he writes a letter to the Romans in Romans 9:32 and 33. He talks about that. He says, why not? Because he's talking about the Israelites, that they pursue righteousness apart from Jesus, and they fell flat on their face. And then he says, why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumble over the stumbling stone, talking about Jesus. Now, listen to another title of Jesus that perhaps you never knew. He's the cornerstone, he's the stumbling stone. It depends what you want him to be. You see, I saw Alicia was traveling to the Greensand. They were traveling to Florida, and she posted a sign in one of the states that she got. It says, who is Jesus? You know, the whole idea, you know, a lot of people are asking, who is Jesus? You know, like Jesus himself asked that of the disciples. Who do people say I am? And then finally, Peter later on said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, and on this rock, talking about rocks and stones again, on this rock, on that statement, I'm going to build my church. And not even the gates of hell are going to be able to stop it. Who do people say Jesus is? I mean, Jesus is so many things for so many people. And it's almost like when you look at what people define Jesus today, it doesn't match really with the Jesus we know in the Bible. You see, he has so many names. Peter calls him the cornerstone. And you see, Paul said that some of those people, whatever they were doing, they trip over the stumbling stone. You know what it is. I mean, think about, you got a boulder, you're driving somewhere, you have a huge rock in the middle of the road, that's the way that you'll be able to cross. Or somebody put a boulder in your house, how are you going to open the door? You had to use a lot of equipment to move that out of the way. So it's something you trip over. It's an obstacle. Jesus can be that for a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of people today tripping over Jesus a lot. Because, you know, they don't believe, it says for him, for the ones who believe, he's precious, but he can be nasty for those who don't believe. You never heard that probably from a preacher telling you. You know, Jesus can be great for a foundation, but if you don't want him as a foundation, then he's going to ruin you. He says, Paul says, they stumble over the stumbling stone, as it is written, see, and then he quotes the same text. He says, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble. Really? He's causing men to stumble. And then he says, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him, you don't have to worry about falling and tripping over, will never be put to shame, will never be dismayed. Jesus is the rock. There's a blues song. Jesus is my rock and he rolls my blues away. Jesus is my rock. You know, Jesus is the rock that makes people fall. That's what the prophet said. Now, it's interesting. As I was writing the sermon, I didn't realize that already being prophesied. That was already predicted, that Jesus was going to cause people to rise up, to be built up, or Jesus was going to cause people to fall. You know who prophesied that? This old man in the New Testament. When Mary and Joseph brought baby Jesus, Simeon was a prophet. And he said that God had revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the salvation of Israel, before he saw the Messiah. So Mary and Joseph came with the baby. He took the baby in his hands and began to say something like, you read that's like, really? This is what Simeon said in Luke chapter 2, verse 24. Then Simeon blessed Mary, Joseph, and the baby, and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. From the beginning, they knew that Jesus was going to be the king, but they also knew that Jesus was going to cause people to rise up, to be built, or that Jesus was going to cause people to fall. Because Jesus Christ is either a foundation or he's going to be a ruin for a lot of people. Depending how you're going to choose, depending what you're going to do with Jesus, he's either going to be your foundation or not. You see, there's no in-between ways in here. You either believe or you don't. You either have faith or you don't have faith. He's either your Savior or not. There's either heaven or hell. There's no there's not a rest area before you get there. No, it's either one or the other. That's what Jesus said. Jesus is either going to be a foundation or he's going to be the ruin. I mean, that's what even the prophet says. He's going to cause Jesus, because he's coming, and God already ordained that he's going to be the foundation for whoever wants him, but then he's going to also be the tripping stone. People are going to trip over Jesus because they don't believe, just like the Israelites trip over Jesus many times, and Paul talks about that. Now, look at what Peter says, going back to our text, verse 7. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. My precious stone's right there. The stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. That's the stone. I mean, you rejected it, but that was it. There's no other stone coming. That was the one that you needed to utilize for your foundation in life. The stone that causes men to stumble, a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. When you disobey Christ, when you reject Jesus, there's only one possibility. Falling. And falling not just over here. Falling, I mean, in hell itself. The difference is going to be what you and I are going to do with Jesus. Because he's either going to be my foundation, but if I refuse him as a foundation, then he's going to be my ruin. My life's going to be ruined because I choose to. He will either be your firm foundation or he will be the tripping stone, the stone upon which you're going to trip over and fall.
John the Gospel says it this way. That's another text that many times we read it and we have no idea what he's saying. John 3:16, Jesus is the one talking to Nicodemus. He says, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's what God did. He gave you his only begotten Son. And then verse 17 says, for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But check out verse 18. Here's the whole idea. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. You're not tripping over him because you believe in him. He's not. If you believe in him, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. You see, you and I, you don't need to judge people. The fact that they either they say yes to Jesus or no. When they say yes, you're not condemned. You say no, you already, I don't need to tell you, you stand condemned already. And you know who said those words? Wasn't even John. Look it up. Jesus is the one talking. He's telling those words to Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus had no idea about you needed to be born again. And Jesus is saying, you know, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Peter says, for those who believe, the stone is precious. It is our foundation. For those who do not believe, the stone becomes a stumbling stone and you're going to be falling flat on your face. So that's why Jesus can be both. And the question is, what do you want Jesus to be? You either embrace him as your foundation stone, and if you don't, then it's the other possibility. He's going to become your ruin. You know, the whole idea, this thing that we're talking about, boils down to choosing. You have to choose. And there's only two choices. You see, we don't understand that because in our society, when you don't find something a Costco, you can go to Sam's in New Jersey or somewhere, and you always find something. I mean, you don't really have to be conformed to one store. If I don't find this jewelry at Kohl's, I go to JCPenney or something. I mean, there's so many possibilities, and within the Bible, it's like that. There's only two choices. There's two possibilities right here. He's either going to be a foundation for you, and if he's not, then he's going to be your ruin. You see, do you realize that Jesus is the cause whether we're going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell? God's not sending anybody to hell, but we send ourselves based on what we do with Jesus. You see, when you go before the Father, he's not going to say, how many services do you attend on church? How many Sundays do you skip? He's not going to say, what church do you go to? Were you involved in some of the things? Yes, you're going to get rewards for being in service, but your eternity does not depend on what you did over here. The eternity depends on what you did with Jesus, whether you believed in him or not. You see, and whatever we decide to do with Jesus, that choice, he has eternal consequences because he's either going to be my foundation or he's not. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, is not judged by God. But whoever does not believe stands condemned and judged already because he has refused to believe in the one and only Son of God. Jesus is either your foundation or your ruin. You will have to do something with Jesus because your destiny is based on what you do with him. No wonder he said, who do people say I am? My destiny, where I'm going to spend eternity, is based on what I choose to do with Jesus. I'm gonna embrace him to be my foundation, or I'm gonna keep on tripping over him all the way to hell. Like a lot of people, they don't realize that, you know, Jesus is it, that's it. I mean, everything changed because of Jesus. Even our own calendar, BC and AD. I mean, he's affecting everything, and he's either or for you and I. My prayer is that, I mean, we know because we have believed he is our foundation, our precious cornerstone upon which we have built our lives, and he's going to take us to heaven. But to a lot of people that don't believe in him, Paul, Peter said, he becomes a stumbling stone. You don't want to stumble over Jesus. Causes men to fall. That's why you and I have friends that they're still tripping over Jesus. They don't want to believe and keep on tripping over him all the way to, you know, Hades and hell. So the praise team is going to come. And you see, it boils down to that. Jerry, you have the next slides. What if I told you that you can choose?
And your choice has eternal consequences. So you and I need to choose wisely. The matrix reminds me, two choices. You either get the blue one, you either get the red one. No in between. You remember that. So I just wanted to place that picture there so you'll be reminded of that. Shelton Slavic. You'll be reminded of that, that it's one or the other. That's why I wanted to talk to you today about that Jesus is either going to be your foundation or he is going to be our ruin.